Thank you, and how it's good that God is faithful, and how he'll never fail us. And praise the Lord, he is faithful forever. So that's what hallelujah really means, praise, and it's good that we can do that tonight. Want to turn, please, to a familiar portion, and it's in Luke chapter 15. This morning we're thinking about relationships. And obviously that affects everyone here, our relationship with each other, especially we mentioned God, our personal relationship. That's essential if we want to go to heaven. We need to know Christ as our own and personal Saviour. And then we looked at the private relationships that we have in family and even in the fellowship here. And then we thought of the public relationships that are out and about, and then how we have problem relationships and how do we deal with them? Do we avoid them, or do we try to make amends and try and show a humility and be willing to forgive? I know it tells us in the Bible we're to live at peace with all men, if it's possible to live at peace. So there might be some situations where people don't want it, and we can only do our best, but we can do our part. And so there's a challenge here about relationships tonight in this reading as well. In Luke chapter 15, reading at verse 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying," and then we move down to verse 11. "And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance in riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and it is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son has come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And we know the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight. I say it is familiar, and we can see the Redeemer here, in especially at the start of the chapter. And we see here, it tells us in verse 1, then drew near unto him, unto Jesus. And it says all the publicans, or the tax collectors, obviously they weren't popular. And then it says, and sinners, for to hear him. And sinners were the religious people, despised them. They were the outcasts in many ways. And yet to think they heard Jesus gladly. People that maybe are self-sufficient and have everything maybe of this world, they think maybe they don't need anything else. But maybe someone who's down and out, or maybe at a low ebb in their life, they realise that they need someone other than themselves, and they need a saviour. So they drew near unto him. Think of those that drew near. They wanted to hear what the Lord was saying. And the amazing thing is, we've got the record of it here. When there was no other recording devices in those days, but we have the Word of God. And it's marvellous, isn't it, that we have the record of what was said. And so, the tax collectors, the sinners, and then we see in verse 2, the Pharisees. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured. So here are religious people, and they murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners. Isn't that great? He receives sinners. And that's what we all are. We're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Every one of us. And you'll find now in today's world, I have been at a number of other services over the years and even recent times, and that's usually a word that's left out nowadays. Sin. Sinners. Or even to be saved. You'll not hear too much about that at all. And so here's the Pharisees, they're murmuring and how they wouldn't eat a meal with such people. They wouldn't do it. And then we see in verse 3 the parable. We often say an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so Jesus was the best teacher of all. And just quickly, before we go into the lost son, we see here from verse 4 to 7 about the good shepherd. He goes after the lost sheep. And we read in verse 7, and this is what Jesus said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner. Isn't that marvellous that God is interested in one? He's interested in you tonight if you don't know Christ as your Saviour. Because how? There's no way you can get into heaven with sin. And so here is one sinner. There's joy in heaven. Why? Repents. Is willing to repent. And that's what we read there. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And we know for the Son of Man in Luke 19 and 10 is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why he came. He came to seek the lost. And it's marvellous that if you're seeking him tonight, then you can find him. And so here we read also in verse 8 to 10 about the lost coin. And especially in verse 10, we read here about one sinner. And remember, Jesus is the teacher, and he's emphasizing these words just not to fill a space. It's very important to pick this up. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. So you think about each one of us who repented over the years, genuinely came to faith in the Lord Jesus, willing to say farewell to the old way of life and acknowledge that we weren't fit for heaven by our good works or church attendance or whatever. We realized that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and he came to save us. And we knew there was no hope any other way. And we could sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And so, isn't it marvelous? One sinner brings joy to heaven. You think of all the folk that are saved here tonight. The joy that has been brought to heaven over your salvation. Isn't that amazing? So God is interested in us. And he loves us so much. And he wants to have us all in heaven. And I trust tonight, if you're not there, that you'll acknowledge your sin and receive Christ as your own and personal Savior. Well, here we are, and we're moving now to the lost son. And he's running away from God. And that's what man is doing ever since the fall. Remember Adam and Eve? They hid themselves. They hid themselves from God. Just like a child, maybe, and they cover their eyes or whatever, and they assume nobody can see them. And people think that God won't see them. But obviously, he knew exactly where Adam and Eve were and what they had done. And he knows everything that you and I have done in our lives. And for the Christian, he wipes it all away. He casts it away into the sea of his forgetfulness. I love that. Now, other people might throw up things from the past at us. But you know, the Lord says, it's buried. It's gone. And so isn't it lovely to know sins forgiven and your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we see here in verse 11 to 12, a requesting son. Obviously, he was a selfish son. And we see what he's doing here. It says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me. You know, that's always a, you know, you could see the greed in him. He wanted it right away. He couldn't wait till the dad would die. He wanted his share now. He wanted, in a sense, to go out into this big world. And he thought that all that happiness out there would last forever. And how foolish he was. And interesting there, in Deuteronomy 21 and verse 17, it tells us that how the younger son would receive a third, and the older son, he would get two thirds. So here is this younger boy, and he would get a third of the inheritance. Now, he didn't get it to blow it. Obviously, I'm sure the father earned it hard, and he wanted his son to obviously benefit from it, but not waste it. I'm sure it would break anybody's heart to see their inheritance being squandered. And so this is no exception here. But here's a young man, and he making this request. Selfish. Give me. And how we can read here that that's exactly what happened. He said, give me the portion of goods in verse 12 that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. So here's a man now. He has been given that. And we can see what is happening. Because think of this man, a requesting son. And now it's riotous living. it moves very quickly. He has no time to think about it, as it were. He has his mind set to go out into this world and to taste all the world can offer him. And there are sometimes people will do that and they think, well, that's what life's all about, to enjoy yourself. But remember, it's only for a season. And so here in verse 13, we see about this riotous son, riotous living. And it says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. I can imagine him. He's got it in cash, and I'm sure he's counted it to make sure he got exactly his third. I imagine he would. You know, if he was £1 out, I reckon he had been back to his dad. He was a greedy son. And there he is, and he gets it all together. Gathers it all. And he took his journey. I'd imagine if he had a rucksack or whatever they had in those days. You know, there he'd be heading out and that thing would be bulging. And he was going to have a super time. Going to leave, he wasn't, that would be him finished, as it were, at home. And he was going to enjoy himself. No hard farming from now on, he thought, probably. And so he's away he goes, and it says there, into the far country, and there wasted his substance in riotous living. He just wasted it. So we see how things, sin will take you further than you want to go. There's no doubt about it. And people start off in this world, and maybe they take one drink. And they might say, I'll even take a social drink. Well, how do you know that you could end up being an alcoholic? You could. And that's the best policy is don't touch it. Don't touch it at all. And it would be the same with drugs. Obviously, if you're on medication, that's a different story. But for someone to take and taste some drugs, obviously, that will take them further than they want to go as well. And so we can understand how this young man, he was blinded by the God of this world. And he felt that the bright lights, as it were, of the city, well, I am going to have the time of my life. And I'll have no more work to do on the farm, and I'll not have to deal with my other brother, and all that there, all the restrictions at home. I want free. I believe that was in his bones. He wanted to be set free. But obviously we would say it tonight, the one who can set you free is the Lord Jesus. And if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And so here we see this young man. And, you know, as the Bible would tell me in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this is something that is happening and around our world now, and it tells us in 2 Timothy 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And so you can see here that lovers of their own selves in verse 2. And I believe that man, he was just thinking about himself, this young man, the lost son, and how he was lost and he needed to be found. And then you can see in verse 4, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And that is the world in which we live. You know, it is a pleasure-seeking world. And obviously there's nothing wrong with pleasure if it's in the right proportion, if we put God first. But how often the pleasure of this world takes over and only lasts a season. So we're back again to Luke, and Luke chapter 15. And we see this man, he has obviously broken the fifth commandment, and where it says, honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In Exodus 20 and verse 12. Well, you see, in Luke 15 and verse 14 to 16, we see not only this young man requesting son, and we see a riotous living son, and now we see a ruined son. He's on the heap, as it were, the scrap heap of life. And that's what happens. The world, as I say, will promise you everything and deliver very little. And so in verse 14, we read here, and when he had spent all, isn't that amazing? He had a lot gathered up there, and it soon disappeared. His friends, I'm quite sure, they were gone as well. Very well, friends. They were around him, I'm sure, like flies when he had the money, and when the drink would be going and all the rest. And now he had spent all of it. There arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went from riches to rags overnight. That's how quickly things can change for anybody. From riches to rags. And it was a blessing in a way to stop this fellow in his tracks. And we'll see what happened here. And see, in verse 15, he ends up working for a Gentile. Imagine a Jew working for a Gentile, and especially with the type of work now that he got here. It says he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. Imagine feeding pigs, unclean animals for the Jews. That's how low he got. And then we read there in verse 16, this ruined son, he would have fain have filled his belly or his stomach with the husks or the pods that the swine or the pigs did eat, and no man gave unto him. Seemingly, you couldn't hardly digest this pods. And could you imagine the fellow starving? And no nice food that he got in his father's house. He had walked away from all that. And he thought this world just was going to be everything to him. You know, Jim Reeves used to sing, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." And that's the truth. So there's more than down here. And we need to be ready for eternity. And so, see, the ruined a son. And then we can see here in verse 17, the reasoning son. It's good to have reasoning powers. And see, if God has spurred you to have a good, clear mind tonight, and you have heard the gospel from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Well, if you've got a clear mind tonight, then you have a big responsibility to respond. You might be as low as this man was here, but at the end of the day, does it take it to be that low for you to come to your senses? Sometimes it does. It takes people, I would say more people got saved in Killyleagh during my time there in 27 years. More people have got saved when they were took ill, they were brought to hospital, or even on their deathbed, in their own home. The time to think. They were stopped on their tracks from their busy life and everything, and suddenly they were facing eternity and the need to prepare, obviously, to meet God. So here's a young man, and he's starting to reason. He was bankrupt. He was hungry. So he had a bad taste, we would say, in his mouth. And that's what the world will do. It will give us a bad taste at the end of the day. And now he's starting to reason in verse 17. And when he came to himself, think of it, isn't that lovely to come to yourself tonight? I do speak to people about their need of salvation. And recently I have been speaking to a man by request. And it's been interesting conversation, a very religious man. And happy enough to talk about believing. Happy enough to talk about, even recently there, about we have all sinned. And there's no doubt the Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He's happy enough to talk about trusting God and having a loving God. But you know, we're trying to, as we're gently open up the scriptures to this person. And the last time we were thinking about the word saved. And I could see a big change came over this man's face. And he just like agitated about it. Saved. And that is, that can cause a reaction. People don't mind, you know, well, believe. Sure, we're all believers. We're all trusting God. He's a God of love. And yes, that's correct. That is 100% right. But, you know, saved. And basically, he told me, he said, you know, you couldn't trust those saved boys. You know, and you know what I mean? People have that reaction, and you have to give it to them for a while until they get saved themselves. And then they realize, you know, this applies to me now. But that word saved, you know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So it's a great word. Good to reason these things out and realize that God loves you and you must be saved. You must be born again. And so verse 17, he came to himself and he said, started to talk to himself. I don't know, do you ever do that here? Do you ever talk to yourself? Some people are good at doing that and you're trying to reason something out. And sometimes it helps you to get things sorted in your mind. And so he talked to himself. And this is what he said. How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Basically, if I don't get out of this, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And he's reasoning all this in his head. And obviously, it's starting to sink into his heart as well. Isaiah tells us, Isaiah 1 and verse 18 tells us this, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So think about our sins. Our sins, they can be made white because the Lord Jesus died on a cross and he shed his precious blood for each one of us. And through that sacrifice, he was there for you and he was there for me. And you can look unto Jesus. Look unto me. That's what the Bible says. Look unto Jesus and be saved, all the ends of the earth. And we can't point anyone else. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men or women or young people. No other name whereby you must be saved. And so we can see here the reasoning son, and that's a great thing if you come to your senses. If you start thinking about where you're going when you die. Are you saved? Are you ready to go? Have you ever told God that you're not fit to get into heaven? And you've told him, look, you know that your sin would keep you out. And then you realize Jesus died for sinners on the cross. And you want to be forgiven. And you are genuinely sorry and you want to stop doing your sin. Some people think, well, I can become a Christian and I'll just keep my sin. I'll keep my drink. You know, I'll keep certain things that I'm doing and I'll have a foot in both worlds. But no, you come out from among those things and you be separate, said the Lord. So that's a big step for someone to say, well, farewell to the world. I'm not going to live for that anymore. I'm not going to be ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause. Have you ever told anybody that you are saved if you are? And if you're not saved, are you prepared? If you trust them tonight, that you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And you'll be able to tell others that you're depending on what Christ has done, not what you have done at all. Because it's by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of our works, lest any man should boast. So here in verse 18, repenting son. Think of what is said here. And I will arise, he said, and go to my Father. What a picture this is of God. Here is a man and he's down and out. And now he wants to get up and go to his Father. He realizes that that's where he can be looked after. And if he wants to survive, he needs to get out of where he is. I will arise, he said. And tonight, if you're not saved, are you prepared to arise from where you are? The type of life, maybe it's a good enough life in your own way, but you know, you think of the change could take place in your life if you are saved. You could be at the prayer meeting during the week of this church. You could be with the church when they're doing witnessing work. You know, wonderful to be part of God's family. You can arise from the things that occupy you out there in the world, even some legitimate things, but you'll put God first. You'll put God first. So here's a repenting son in verse 18 and 19. He arises. He said, look, I'm going to go to my Father and I'll say, Father, I have sinned. And that's what needs to come out, really, if we want to be saved. I have sinned. Not that I have made a mistake or two in my life. And sure, any of us do that. You know, but here is say, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. We've sinned. All of us have sinned against heaven. And then he says, look, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. So he wasn't saying, look, I deserve to be there. I deserve to be looked after. No, he was humble. He was a humble soul now. And that's a good sign, isn't it? If you want to be saved, we need to humble ourselves and under the mighty hand of God, and he lifts you up. God, he sees the heart. And if people come in their pride and think, well, you know, I don't need all this stuff and I'll get through as good as the rest, well, you have no hope of getting into heaven because heaven's a narrow door. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father, he said, except through me. So you can't get in. Impossible. So here, repenting, and it's wonderful. There's other verses in the Bible about repentance. And in Romans 2 and 4, it tells us, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God is good to you. He's given you breath. He's allowed you to live up to this point. He's allowed you to hear different messages, be witness to for many people. God has been good to you. And the Bible says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10 tells us, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, but sorrow of the world worketh death. This repenting son. No, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. I wonder tonight, have we humbled ourselves before God? God's waiting with outstretched arms, with compassion, with compassion, and he wants to forgive us. But if we continue on going down the broad road, if we keep rejecting all the times that God is speaking to us, then one day it'll be too late. And once you stop in this world, then you have no way of changing. You can't come back. You can't come back and say, I'll have another go. Because it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. So here we find a repenting son. And so there's a lot of verses we could use about repentance. And then we see here, not only that there, but we see as we look through here, and in verse 20, it says, he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. So he was loved with an everlasting love. And you know, that's God's picture here for us tonight. You're loved. God loves you. And Christ died for you. And how, no matter how low we get, God still loves you. So he never stops loving us. And he's offering us the gift of eternal life. The gift of God. Isn't it amazing? God's gift, free, given to us, if only we're prepared to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it's wonderful to see that. And the son said again, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. So not only did he think about it, but he was saying exactly that he had now truly repented. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring him hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. Think of it, dead in trespasses and sins. That's all sinners are like that. No spiritual life in you unless you're saved. Unless you've repented of your sins and believed on the Lord Jesus. And is found. He's lost and he's found. It's lovely to be able to say tonight that you are alive spiritually. The Spirit of God witnesses with your spirit that you're a child of God. That's what happens when you're saved. When you've asked the Lord Jesus to forgive your sins and be your Savior, the Holy Spirit enters and you're born again. And you'll get that assurance then that you're God's child. And so it's lovely to be alive, and it's lovely to be found when you're lost. And they began to be merry. And I trust tonight that as we've been thinking about this, the lost son, if you know you're lost tonight, remember that you can be found. And you remember that Jesus, he is reaching out to you and he wants you to come to him. And he said, if you come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. So I trust tonight that if you're in that maybe lonely place of your life, if you know that if anything happened to you tonight, then you couldn't get into heaven because of your sin, then you come to the Savior without delay. And he will accept you. And you'll be a new creature. You'll be alive. And you'll be found. And may the Lord bless his word to your heart. And it's 306, please. 306.